بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is technology. And today, thanks to technology, there is a resurgence of interest in Islam, and people are reading and they are listening to lectures and they are doing various things trying to understand the deen, and this is eminently a good thing. But one of the things that is happening in that context, which I see across the world, is people indulging in conjecture, speculation, philosophizing with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with respect to issues of the ghaib, with respect to mutashabihat, the hidden or the unclear ayat of the Quran, looking for hidden meanings. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because I remember doing a Fajr reminder on this earlier as well, where we talked about the issue of looking into the issue of, you know, free thinking in the Quran, so to speak. And I remember saying this. So I think it is important to understand that while curiosity is a wonderful thing, while Allah Himself mentions أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ, don't they reflect, don't they think, do they not make tadabbur? Allah makes these statements in the Quran many times, and sometimes mistakenly we take this to mean by tadabbur and tafakkur, we think it means just general free speculation and philosophizing with respect to the Quran in any way that comes into our minds. What we need to remember is that there is an agency whose stated aim is to lead everyone into Jahannam, and that agency is called Shaitan. Now, Shaitan's nature is that Shaitan is clever, is very intelligent. And obviously, he does not try to mislead everybody in the same way, because things are not equally attractive to different people. So, Shaitan misleads each person in a way that suits that person. And one of the ways in which Shaitan misleads those who are curious, those who are interested in Islam, is by getting them embroiled in discussions and in speculation about things where the best of it is that they can never get a definitive answer, because there is no way of getting a definitive answer. And I'll give you some examples. And on the other hand, it might actually lead them into areas which can be, spiritually speaking, very dangerous. So, people will speculate, for example, on the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne, right? Or the actual meaning of the term kursi, for example. You know, in kursi in Urdu means chair. So, if there is a throne, then and there is a chair, now arsh is throne and kursi is chair. So now, is this chair on top of the throne, or is the chair beside the throne, and what? And then somebody else translates it as a footstool. So we say, okay, this footstool is it placed in front of the throne, or where is it placed? And so, is Allah sitting on the throne with his feet on the footstool, or what is happening? Now, all of these kinds of questions with regard to the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Zat-e-Bari ta'ala, or with regard to his person, or with regard to the things about the ghaib, all of these questions, the basic issue, the basic principle of Aqidah is that we believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us without asking how, bila kaif. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. That Allah said, He created the heavens and the earth in 7 days, and then He made istiwa on His arsh. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said that we know from this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth in 7 days, and then He made istiwa on the arsh. What is istiwa? He said, we do not know and we do not ask, because nobody can answer that question. Now, this is our position with regard to issues of ghaib. What Allah has told us, in as many words as He told us, we accept it and we leave it at that. Now, you might say, well, you know, what is wrong with asking, what is wrong with questioning? Now, the problem with questioning is, questioning such things, right, is that, first of all, nobody can give you a definitive answer, because unless someone goes and sees what Allah is doing on the arsh, we have no way of knowing, and we can't go and see. There is no one who is receiving wahi. If I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, please tell me and show me, Allah is not going to tell me and show me. So therefore, what is the point of this discussion? So at best, it's a waste of time. Now at worst, it can take you into areas where you entirely end up losing your iman itself, because you start believing that, oh, you know, all of this must be some sort of mythology, it's not true, and so on and so forth. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made descriptions of Jannah and Jahannam in the Quran. So what do we say? You know, are these allegorical? Are these just, or are they real? Specifically, when Allah says Shajaratu Zakum, is there this tree called Zakum, Ta'am al-Athim? Allah is talking about the issues or things of Jahannam. Are these really true? I mean, are these things happening there, and so on and so forth? Will it be there? What is the... Now, the way to understand all of this is to see what Rasulullah ﷺ did, and how did he teach this, and how did the Sahaba understand this. Nabi ﷺ did not indulge in, and he didn't indulge, and he did not allow others to indulge, and he didn't recommend indulging in such discussions. For example, Allah said He has created 7 heavens, right? So, Sama Samavat. Now, which are the 7 heavens? Where are they? What are they? We know only one, which is the sky that we see. And effectively, that is space, really, if you look at it. Where are the other 6? Now, the ayat came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? I mean, you didn't get this ayat, I didn't get this ayat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got this ayat, the Sahaba got this ayat. So, obviously, these questions would have occurred to them as well. So, let us, if you look in the seerah, if you look in the classical sources, there is no such discussion. There is no discussion of people asking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, indulging in this speculation. So, on what basis do we indulge in this speculation? Because in the case of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at least there was an excuse to say, well, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, please show me these 7. Now, in Isra al Mi'raj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was actually shown the 7 heavens, and he went through the 7 gates. But the point is that other than that, we have no evidence of this thing, right? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the earth, Allah said there are 7. Where are the 7? Which earths? Are we talking about different galaxies? Are we talking about different solar systems? Or what is it that we are talking about? So, therefore, in terms of reflection, please understand the rules. There are rules of the Quran, of understanding the Quran. There is no scope in the Quran of boundaryless speculation and boundaryless, conjecture, because it's of the danger of going astray. So there are rules, and the rule is that with regard to the ghaib, we believe what Allah has told us without asking how. And we take it, what he has told us, alhamdulillah, and that's the end of the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran, in Surah Al-Imran, in the ayah number 7, where He said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. Allah said, it is He who has sent down to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the book, this Quran. In it are ayat that are entirely clear, and they are the foundations of the book. And these are the ayat of ahkam, the faraid and the hudud. And others not entirely clear. So as for those in whose hearts there is a deviation, there is a sickness from the deviation from the truth, they follow that which is not entirely clear, seeking fitna, which is controversy, and seeking for hidden meanings, but none knows its hidden meanings except Allah. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in it, the whole of it, the clear and the unclear, that these are from our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, and none receive admonition except men of understanding. And this is in Tafsir al-Tabari. I remind myself and you, let us not get misled by shaitan, by imagining that we are doing something good by boundless speculation. Boundless speculation leads only to misguidance. Let us stay within the boundaries of the Quran. The adab of the Quran comes before anything else. Only then can we hope to understand the Quran. Number two is, let us focus on those things which lead to actions. So let us look at those ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us how to live, what to do, what is right, what is not right, and so on. And let us focus on that, let us reflect on that, and then let us reflect and introspect in our own lives to say, am I following that? My brothers and sisters, you will not be asked on the day of judgment to point out the seven heavens. You will not be asked where are the seven earths. You will not be asked any of these kinds of questions on the day of judgment. You will be asked, what did you do with your time? You will be asked, what did you do with your life? You will be asked, what did you do with your youth? You will be asked, how did you earn your living, and where did you spend that money? These are the questions that we are going to be asked. So let us focus on those questions. Let us not focus on things which have no value, because they are not questions on the day of judgment, they are not questions in the qabr. They are there in the Quran because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to put them there as signs of His greatness and majesty. That is all there is to it. Let us not focus on that. Focus on that which is beneficial, which relates to action. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to focus on action and to live our lives in a way where our time is not wasted in useless discussion. Instead, we focus on what is worthwhile and what is beneficial and what we can act upon. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.